Hello, America, and welcome. This is our 4th of July special, where we will be addressing the Founding Fathers and their vision for America.
Direction, insight, spin. Welcome to the compass.
I have always wondered how the Founding Fathers would view the United States of America. Perhaps they would initially notice the rather than these. For the America the Founding Fathers knew was known as these United States. This change in particular occurred after the Civil War. Perhaps the first thing they would notice is that all citizens have the freedom, no matter their race, gender, or property holdings, to vote. In any case, I am sure that someone on Fox News today will go on a long rant about Obama's big government being your daddy or your big brother or some other forced analogy, and how that has destroyed the nation that our glorious founders have built. Well, this is just really a statement of the obvious. Of course, our nation is so different than in 1776, when the Declaration of Independence was officially adopted. What I think is more prudent on this 4th of July holiday is to analyze the real vision for the Founding Fathers and how it actually compares to the United States as it stands today. First of all, there are a few serious misconceptions that people seem to have about the framers that I think we ought to go over and understand in a better and more sophisticated light. First of all, the Founding Fathers were not unique. I repeat, the Founding Fathers were not unique in their vision. The way our government is structured today is in accordance with the moderate mainstream enlightenment. Let me begin with John Locke. In his two treaties of government, he wrote, quote, "No one ought to harm another in his life, liberty, or possessions." This, friends, is analogous to the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And a note on happiness versus property. The reason why happiness was used as opposed to the word property was because of the nature of the document. The Declaration of Independence was supposed to be a document of passion, declaring our breaking of the ties with Great Britain. The pursuit of happiness is not a controversial goal. It is not an intellectual goal. It seems to be self-justifying. Property, on the other hand, needs to be explained and interpreted in of itself, and therefore had no place, at least in Jefferson's view, in the Declaration of Independence. But Jefferson's meaning there is clearly the same. But let's move on and get even more specific. Let's talk about the way our government is set up. Now, I am going to read a quote from Baron de Montesquieu, and we will see what you think. "When the legislative and executive power are united in the same person, or in the same body of magistrates, there can be no liberty, because apprehensions may arise lest the same monarch or senate should enact tyrannical laws to execute them in a tyrannical manner. Again, there is no liberty if the judicial power be not separated from the legislative and executive. Were it joined with the legislative, the life and liberty of the subject would be exposed to arbitrary control, for the judge would be the legislator. Were it joined with the executive, the judge might behave with violence or oppression. There would be an end to everything, where the same man or the same body, whether of the nobles, oligarchy, or of the people, democracy, to exercise those three powers, that of enacting laws, that of executing the public resolutions, and that of trying to causes of individuals. That, friends, should sound very familiar. This is basically the setup of our government. We have three branches: the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. What your feelings on mixed constitutional government, because that is the true name of this form, not republic. We are not a republic. We are a mixed constitutional government. That's a fact. Whatever your view on mixed constitutional systems, it is clear that they are expressed here in Montesquieu's writing, specifically in his book, The Spirit of the Laws. Now, another critical point that we must analyze is this. Some view the Founding Fathers as if there was no argument, there was no discrepancy between them. I don't mean discrepancy like favorite color or petty institutions. I'm not talking about discrepancy in, you know, should there be bicameral, unicameral legislature, or how should we divide the votes between the states. I'm talking about deep philosophical discrepancy. It's swept under the rug by our textbook versions of history. Thomas Jefferson once wrote to Edmund Randolph, "The whole body of nations is the sovereign legislative, judicial, and executive power for itself." This then runs in contrast to John Adams or Alexander Hamilton's view regarding the nature of government or human nature. John Adams once wrote, "The majority has eternally and without exception usurped over the rights of the majority." Now, we could go back and forth and discuss the nature of rights, what it means to have rights, do we have rights, etc. But you get the point. John Adams is skeptical of democratic control of government. Furthermore, let's be even more historically explicit. The Founding Fathers went through a period of disillusionment after and near the end of the Revolutionary War. That is, for example, in the case of John Adams, that he went through a transformation and completely reformed and rejected most of his earlier held convictions about popular sovereignty and democracy, and now is sometimes considered the founder of American conservatism. Similarly, Alexander Hamilton, due to his experiences during the Revolutionary War, lost most of his faith in human nature and also in democratic control. It is out of this disillusionment which arose the Federalists and the Federalist Papers and eventually later on the Federalist Party. Furthermore, the more radical founders of our country are often swept under the rug by the textbooks, such as Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, Benjamin Rush. They were rejected and not included in our history of the nation because they were too radical. They were too revolutionary. Their vision of democracy in our nation went too far for the mainstream enlightenment, which eventually took over the Revolutionary War, which early on had a very, very democratic character. Consider further, we all know that Thomas Paine wrote Common Sense, but do we know his Rights of Man? A much more radical and intellectual work that outlined his vision for a just society. Do we know, for example, Thomas Jefferson's Notes on the State of Virginia, an assessment of the virtues of America after the Revolution? And his assessment of government and of the people, etc. We don't. We know of Thomas Jefferson that he drafted the Declaration of Independence. This is a crime on our view of history. It is. We need to relearn and re-understand our country and our nation. So, what would the founders think of the United States? To that question, I respond, which one? I think if we were to resurrect John Adams from the grave and give him a tour, he would do this. He would stand back, the short, stubby man that he was, wearing his simple clothing. And I think that the populist in him, although covered up after 1778, would say, "This is a beautiful land with so many accomplishments to her name. But it is a shame that the many-headed beast, the people, has not yet gathered enough wit to overthrow their riders." I think Jefferson would say, "I am most impressed with the accomplishments of the United States. But I was right. A government of citizens in mass, acting directly and personally, would have prevented the corruption of our government." In short, each founder, each framer, would offer his own critique of America and how it stands. So, from this, what can we conclude? I think it is clear that the only condemnable course of action moving forward for our nation is to blindly celebrate our institutions, whether it be our government, our economy, our churches, whatever. To blindly celebrate those institutions goes against all of the principles of the revolutionary founders of our country, even after their conservative disillusionment. To conclude, we must not forget that we are born out of a passionate revolution to overthrow the tyranny of the British Crown. It is in our blood to question the status quo. We too often make the mistake that the revolution is over, that all we have to do is preserve the gains and the victories. This is false. The revolution has only just begun, and to quote John Paul Jones, "We have only just begun to fight." From Port Washington, New York. Happy birthday, America!